Hello, and welcome to this episode of Diomedes Dialogue, Technology Therapeutics and Real World Perspectives, coming at you again from ADA Psy Sessions in San Diego, California. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I'm with my wonderful co-host, Natalie Bellini, and we have a very exciting interview with Gary Scheiner. So welcome, Gary, and I mean, I think everyone knows you, but if you wouldn't mind, just in case there's someone that doesn't, introducing yourself and what your role is.
Now, you two really need to get some sun, even indoors, way too much.
We have been. I'm just going to put me good sunny outside.
I recently know San Diego.
Beautiful. Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, as you know, I'm from Philadelphia, where it's always sunny.
Freshen.
Not really. But I have a clinical practice, 10 clinicians that all we focus on type 1 diabetes care, intensive insulin therapy care. And I lived with type 1 for 38 years.
Last August.
And tell us a little bit more about your practice about integrated diabetes. So I know we've worked with some of your dietitians. We're actually writing a pregnancy paper right now. And you really do a lot of insulin pumps. Talk to us a little bit about what does that look like in a day at Integrated Diabetes?
We work with a motivated patient base. These are people to come to us because they're looking for better management and more answers than they can get from their current team. You know, not to blame their team. They're stressed for time and don't always focus on these types of things, but we're able to give them the attention and expertise that they need. Now, some of them are trying to lose weight or have successful pregnancies, compete in athletic events. But a lot of them just want better glucose management than they're able to achieve on their own. Well, I think we have as many people struggling with hypos as we're struggling with hypers.
Right.
Now, we often have to convince them to ease up on the intensity of their management a little bit for their good.
So when you come to something like ADA and you walk into that exhibit hall, tell me what you've seen with the insulin pumps this year and the changes in the landscape since our last interview at ABN.
I wish I had more time to spend in these.
They
don't have the food we usually see.
There's
always great information to collect. They've been some excellent research presentations on the various pumps and sensors and automated insulin delivery systems. There've been debates comparing different strategies to use of them, and specific things like use of these systems in competitive athletics, with general exercise during pregnancy. So I've been trying to learn as much as possible about the nuances of the various systems, not only for my own personal good, but for our patients while being sweet and counsel to the nest.
So what's new? What's new in the land? Right. Talk to us.
Well, the newest and exciting thing is the iLoad from Beta Bionics. Dr. Andamiano presented quite a bit about his system. Ironically, he presented it at a session on glucagon, but he didn't talk very much about glucagon.
Right.
That system's not a long way off, but we learned a lot about the iLet automated insulin. I call it a hybrid closed loop. It's semi-automated, but it's an interesting system that he created. It takes a lot of the burden and responsibility away from not only the patient, but their healthcare provider. So many healthcare providers are limited, again, time and expertise. They don't have a clue how to fine-tune patients on pumps. Their system doesn't require any involvement on the healthcare provider's part, other than the basic education up front. All the user needs to know is how much they weigh. So I guess as long as they can access scale at their doctor's office, that's pretty much all they need to get started with it. The system self-regulates and adjusts not only the basal, but the bolus deliveries. So when you go to have a meal, you don't have to tell it how much carb you're eating. You just let it know if it's a typical meal or smaller or bigger than usual. And after a kind of a learning period, it starts to figure out about how much insulin you need for those scenarios. Yesterday, I went to lunch and I got a salad and some kind of tuna crusted something on it. But wasn't a lot of dollars. Today I went to the spaghetti where.
Of course you didn't. It was a Gary thing, right? Yeah, exactly, right?
I put a lot of carbs into that. I underestimated. But, with a system like the iLet, you're not counting carbs and bolus. You're just saying large.
Right.
So it'll work in some instances. You know, men's clothing, we can often buy small, medium, large.
Right.
Women don't tend to buy clothing.
Right, exactly.
So what we're finding is that systems that require less work by the user and the clinician don't achieve the same level of glucose control. So it's a trade-off. You have to ask yourself, is it worth putting in less effort if my glucose isn't as well managed? Or do I want that really tight management? I want to be involved, and then I can achieve a really tight control. And I'm finding with every system that's out there, they fit somewhere in that spectrum in terms of how much work they require and what kind of outcomes you can achieve.
I know this has been the topic about just bolusing in general, because there are systems working on it to not bolus at all. But with the way insulin works and slow delivery and everything, you can do that, but there is going to be a trade-off for time and rate. And we've seen that with some data coming out, like with Control IQ and people that don't bolus. They still, I mean, they can get like 60% time and rate, but they're not going to be the ones at 70 and 80%. So is it worth kind of that trade-off for that decreased maybe burden of diabetes?
But you put it on in the morning and you wear it till the next morning when you jump in the shower, take it off for 10 minutes, you put it back on again, right? And you trade it when it alarms and you're empty, that diabetes burden is reduced significantly, right? But then where is that line where, you know, this isn't this level of glucose may cause you to have complications, right? And so that's that. I do believe, though, that you know, the average A1C in the United States is 2% now or something awful. A lot of people, if we could just get them to 7, would be so much better off, right? That's a 2% right A1C.
Those are the A1Cs of the control and the intensive therapy groups in the DCCT 30 years ago.
Exactly, right? And especially people taking insulin, it's very difficult when your body doesn't make very much or none at all to get tight glycemic control and stay engaged year after year after year, right? And so you kind of see these waves of engagement with a little bit. I see a place for it. I do.
I just, like, I'm worried it's still a burden, though.
I mean, you still have to fill up the cartridge. There is tubing, so you have to run the insulin through the tubing. You have to change it, right? Doesn't it hold 180 units battery, 60 usable units? So I mean, I guess you're going to have to change every few days, right? So it's still, we are still asking the person to do a lot of work. Does it
right? Less work? It's still
announced that they're eating.
Right.
And to tap a button.
Tap a button or two and say, I'm doing this, I'm not doing that, you know?
I think something we can all appreciate is the importance of individualization.
Yeah, right.
Customizing the care and the treatment for the individual and what their goals are. There are plenty of people out there who go to primary care or see an endo, but they don't pay attention. They don't engage in their diabetes management. Their glucose control is pretty poor. A system like that will get them better.
Absolutely.
It can get them significantly better. I see the same parallel with the Omnipod 5s. They took away a lot of the features that pump users can utilize to manage better. But for somebody whose A1C was 9.2, now maybe it's going to go to 7.5 without having to put a lot of work into it. iLet will do a similar thing. It'll get that A1C into the 7s somewhere, which is great for somebody who's starting out with a 9 or a 10.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, for the more engaged patients who want and need finer control, other systems can achieve better.
So,
but there's
a lot more about that with the Omnipod 5, because we know the target can go down to 110, and of course people they can count carbohydrates and enter that in. So curious why you say kind of low 7s in terms of maybe A1C.
But a target of 110 doesn't mean your glucose is going to be 110. It just means when it's calculating a correction dose, that's what it aims for.
Right.
You still spend the majority of your time above that level. The way their system operates, it kind of estimates what a person's basal needs are after about a week of use. It figures, you know, if you take 40 units a day, about 20 of that should be basal. And it starts out with a flat basal profile, which can work for some people, but for some who have significant dawn phenomenon pattern, with kids who have a nighttime growth pattern,
yeah,
and need much higher basal rates, the system is going to constantly be struggling to catch up. It's going to be rising at certain times of day, and then it has to fix it day after day after day, which is not optimal. And you don't have the opportunity to extend boluses, which a lot of people do and need. Heck, we had that pasta lunch. There's no way I could bolus for all those carbs at one time.
Right.
So you can spread out the delivery with certain systems. Other ones, you can't.
How do you think, the 780G is going to, compare to both the iLet and OmniRise?
Well, having not worn it yet, and I only have one patient using it, he's in Europe. I just don't have that much experience.
Sure. Correct.
The data looks pretty good from an outcome standpoint. And Medtronic's always been a little ahead of the curve in terms of developing this technology, but they've been behind the curve when it comes to make the system less intrusive on a person's daily life. See, we have to see how much effort and work the user has to put in terms of calibrations of the sensor, dealing with frequent alarms, which their older systems have had a problem with, and whether the algorithm is flexible enough to let people get the kind of tight control that they're looking for. It does have a few target options, but not as low as things like the DIY system or, if you're using the Tandem and can put it in sleep mode, you can achieve tighter control there as well.
So there was an interesting debate here at ADA side sessions on, leaping versus, Greg Collette versus Dana Lewis. And, is there still a need for DIY? So since you brought it up, kind of curious your thought on it. A step back to how many people do you take care of right now today, approximately, on insulin pumps? And then how many of them are using some sort of DIY system?
Well, collectively, among all of our clinicians, we've got a few thousand patients.
Okay.
On pumps. And at this point, you've probably got 250, 300 using the DIY, and almost all of them use the lid.
Right.
But it's growing.
Oh, it's growing.
Oh, interesting. It's growing pretty quickly. A lot of people who are up for new systems are considering whether they want to use a commercially available system or go to loop. And people who have been using Omnipod, for example, many of them are switching over. Instead of going on Omnipod 5, they're going with a loop system. Yeah, during that presentation yesterday, my blood pressure was just
through the roof. I can only imagine.
And hearing someone, a healthcare provider who works with type 1 diabetes a lot, say there's no need and no place for DIY systems, just doesn't get it. They're missing out on the importance of individualization and customization. I was going to ask him if he takes three buses to work every day. And if he said, no, I drive, I said, well, it's transportation. What's the difference?
Right.
That's the kind of thing I was thinking of. There are so many things about the DIY systems that literally are better. Yes, there's more work that goes into setting it up. But once you have it set up, you can customize your insulin program around your needs much better than with any commercially available system.
Right. You can certainly set target flow, or you can, one of the things that I love about Loop is you can say, I'm eating this. This acts more like a lollipop. It goes right in right away and it's absorbed very quickly, right? So that would might be watermelon and it might be candy, whatever. And then this acts more like a taco where it's a little bit of protein, a little bit of carb, a little bit of fat. And this food acts more like pizza. So you're actually not even putting in, once you do your setup, those numbers every time. You're just saying, 2 units taco, 3 units pizza, 1 unit, whatever, 4 units this. And it's doing that math and that and saying, this is what this absorption looks like for you. And you have less challenges with those postprandial, especially a larger meal.
Natalie, you discovered the secret sauce to the DIY system in that it considers not just insulin absorption and active insulin, it considers active food.
Yes.
And that's how it can make smarter decisions. None of the other systems take that into
it. No, it doesn't know what to do with them. Right. Yep. That is really
the ability to run overrides is also very valuable because everyone has stress in their lives. Everyone has illnesses that pop up. Women have menstrual cycles to deal with. We have different levels and degrees of exercise. And the DIY system offers unlimited setup of overrides where you can make percentage adjustments for time periods you choose. You can adjust the target for time periods you choose. So for if someone who's even a little bit engaged in their human care, it allows them to live their life that they choose and manage their diabetes extremely well. And yeah, that's the difference when someone asked me what it was like when I was first diagnosed in 1985. Back in the day, you were put on an insulin program and you had to fit your life into the insulin program. Now we fit our diabetes management, our insulin program into our life. And I by nothing lets you do that better than the DIY systems do.
Right. Right. I love it.
Yeah, I do.
It sounds like Dina Lewis won.
Great.
In your heart. Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah, it is. And I think people, it's hard because, you know, when you have a DIY system, changes can be made very quickly because the developers sitting behind it aren't going through the FDA, right? Where, you know, if we want to have a, you know, we talk about it. I want an Omnipod 5 Plus, right? Plus meaning just be a little more aggressive. Come on, right? Or whatever system we're talking about. We just want a little bit of an input.
I was raising my hand during the debate yesterday. So how many of your AID system users are using the G7?
Right.
None. They can't.
Right. All in mine are. Right. Exactly. Right.
Time is value.
Right.
We don't, you know, you wait a year. Oh, big deal. You wait a year. Now that's a year using suboptimal equipment.
Right. And waiting 2 hours for a warm up and guessing, and no one's checking it during those 2 hours.
You're
a leader, right?
For essence alarms.
Yes. Right. A transmitter that you have to click in versus pull off and, right? All of that.
Accuracy.
Right. It, you know, within days of the G7 being available, the DIYers could have access to it in their systems.
Everyone Fiat launched.
Right.
It took 2 weeks. They had an algorithm option in
for the order.
For
right.
Fiat.
Right.
So right. We'll have it in any
right.
Or shape.
Right. It's like night and day. Yeah.
Really. So what's up and coming?
Yeah. What did you say that you said? Oh, I can't wait to see it. Is it in 6 months or a year or?
Coming. Hey. Good question. What have you seen that you're excited about?
Oh, I love how you pinged that.
Right. Then goodness. Right.
Yep. Right. Well, I'm looking forward to new approvals of things. We were talking about the Luna, the idea of that patch pump. There are people that are on MDI that overnight they could have a taste of AID and at least like wake up into target range, but then not have to be connected the rest of the day. I think that's kind of a cool little device. So I hope that is something that we have available in the future. And then I think this whole partnership like with Embecta and Tidepool to have a pump for type 2 diabetes. And I mean, we have ongoing clinical trials. All the big systems, 780G, Control-IQ, Omnipod 5, are doing large clinical trials in type 2 diabetes, which we're already doing that anyway in practice. But it'll be good to have the data, and then hopefully that'll secure, make it easier to get those systems approved for those populations. So that's a lot.
Yeah. And one thing I'm looking forward to are improvements in the infusion devices.
Yeah.
Medtronic has one already. It is better.
Actually,
it is not great. Now, Tandem has one in the works, and they purchased Capillary Bio a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it's a really innovative infusion device.
Right.
I don't know about you, but the infusion set is, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, you're totally right. We had interviewed Earl Persh in the past, and he's like all into these skin biopsies and showing like what the current infusion sets are doing to people's skin.
The ability to, inability to absorb the scar tissue, and not really understanding why it's happening to certain people more than others, right? But we all know that if you infuse insulin or inject insulin into scar tissue, it's like playing Russian roulette. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Don't get in a hot tub. Don't take a shower, right? Because you're going to have these ultra absorption, but not all the time.
Just local inflammation,
right?
Local irritation,
right?
You can do that. That's why we do the same thing 2 days in a row and get very different.
Exactly. No, you're right. You got the best system, but if there's erratic absorption,
you get the right amount of insulin at the right time and still not have it work as expected.
Right,
then it's more frustrating.
And that's, I think, where we get precision medicine. You know, we've talked for years about this population health for all your, you know, especially at a hospital level or a hospital-owned level. Well, everyone's even seeing greater than 9. Now, what do we need to do? They all should be on blank. They should all do this. And really, diabetes should be more about precision medicine. You know, did your mom die young of a heart attack? What is your health status? Who are you? What do you want? What are your goals? and then decide what to do around that, right? You have hypertension. I'd rather not take a hypertensive medicine. Give me 6 weeks to start exercising more. I'm going to commit to, okay, you know, those kinds of interactions. Not just we recognize we need to fix this, but not everyone should be fixed the same way.
Yeah.
And I, yeah.
Dual hormone pump therapy, that was another area.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You can achieve such tighter management. Right now, we have systems that it's kind of like a car with a gas pedal and no brakes. You can drive the blood sugar down, but you can't stop the drop.
Right.
Being able to infuse glucagon automatically as needed to prevent lows. You can drive that car a lot faster if you know you have brakes.
Absolutely. Right. Right.
So
pushing that level down just a little bit more to reduce those risk of complications. Right. But then you run up and down stairs too often and you do anything spontaneous, you're going to drop out. Right. That said, it's just too close.
This conference is a great example. How many steps I took this to?
Probably 25,000.
I'm close.
Right.
Over 23,000.
Right. And that's not normal for a regular day in Philadelphia. Right. No. Right.
I work out every day, but that many steps throughout the day, my glucose was just falling all day long.
Right.
Even on a great system.
Right.
If the glucagon was involved.
Right. It could have just given you, and we're not talking a whole milligram, right? We're not talking a full dose. We're talking micro dosing of it to just keep that glucose up so that you can continue to function and not eat when you don't want to. Right? So many people with that.
I hope Beta Bionics, they're pushing ahead with
it. Yeah, I do too.
Side.
Right. The people with diabetes saying, I have to eat when I don't want to. I'm full. I took too much insulin and now I'm miserable. You know.
Have you experimented yet with microdosing glucagon?
I have.
I mean, it's off label, but how's your experience?
It's been great. It's been great. Are you doing it as well? Yeah, the G-Book is available in a syringe and in a vial, rather. And so you can give tiny, tiny doses and not have to eat every single time you're low. We see people with a lot of hypoglycemia caused by insulin or sulfonylureas gain weight over time because you're taking a little too much insulin, so you need a little more to eat every day. And that low glucose, even the feeling of dropping, can cause your body to feel hungry. So you don't even have to be low to eat. You're like, oh, I'm hungry again. Can't believe I'm hungry again. And so people tend to gain weight slowly over time anyway in America, but this makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
So being able to take a microdose, correct that low or correct that pending low and move on without having to stop, without having to, it's amazingly
working.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's the best things, right?
Within food.
Yes, it does.
It's addictive and it lasts longer.
Right.
Get the delayed.
How do you dose it? Do you do like weight-based dosing or
We usually start out with, it's a 0.1 mic.
Yeah. Right. It's tiny now.
It's 2 units and then we gradually taper it. You can't go too high because the stuff stinks. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, I have to.
You get too high, feel you get shot with a BB gun.
Right.
You get
you have to be, But usually a few units is enough. It's not like you need this massive dose. So do you use the whole thing? You do like a 0.5, because you're treating actual severe hypoglycemia. Does that sting a lot then?
Yeah, you would not really know.
Because you're out of hand. But if you were, did that and it stings a lot. I didn't realize that. How did it sting so much? But you're so happy about it. Right. The obvious amazing site number.
Normally.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Be still, turn it.
Yes, exactly. But it really does change your outlook on, okay, I don't want to eat right now, but I'm dropping. Okay, then don't. Right. Then just do it this way. And of course, this is 100% off label.
Right. Right. Yeah. We should 100% off label use. But there are lots and lots of people. I mean, we come to ADA to talk about off label.
Why not? Right.
To improve outcomes, to work on success, no matter what that
resonate, right.
And a lot of people are finding it very, very helpful. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much
again every time. Right.
My favorite guest.
You are
right.
Oh, it's very real world topics. I love it.
We'll have to do this again at ADCES.
Where we are.
And bye. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone,
to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue.